Start today the trade away Northwest London, Tuesday imported cotton, 14th of Adar Rishon, 15th of February, Rabbi Daniel Roche, Megillus Esther, Part 1. This week's trade away has been sponsored for Shlema of Abinoam ben Etta Vichna Neri Yoya, Sheyiska, the Refuah Shlema of the Koru Besuch, Orch, Ode Yisrael, Amen.
Amen.
Purim Kotten to everybody.
Morning.
Good morning, and Feilichem Purim Kotten. It's a good time to begin Shloshim Yom Kodem, to begin, we called it part one because that's a way of getting us to do a few parts here. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll, it also allows us time to really focus on some of the big themes that Chazal are drawing out of the Megillah. So let's get straight started, straight in there. We have the Megillah starts, interestingly enough, Vayid Me'ech HaShveirish. And it's interesting that before you even start the first parak of the Megillah, it's not so obviously needed for the story. Neither, by the way, is most of the last parak, short though it is. Right? The last parak, if you just look at the Masalar, we get some taxes going. Chol Maisa Tokvei Gorosai, all the greatness, Parshas Gedulas, well, get Mordechai, that's fine. So Gidl HaMelech, but the Gidl of Achashverosh, this doesn't seem to be particularly relevant. And the first parak is not so obviously relevant. And in fact, interestingly enough, the Gemara, there's Mishnah really, and Bryce and Daf Yud Tes and Megillah, that when there's actually Machlokes, as to whether you're even chayav to hear the Kriyas Megillah on the first parak, right? You have four shittas in the Tanoim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, from Ish Yehudi, Hayom Shoshan Avira, as you need to know about Mordechai, maybe you need the words of Ayyub Me'achashverosh, but then you need to, you only need to the Kriyas Megillah, you have to hear from the introduction of Mordechai, that issue of the Ayyub Shoshan Avira. That's it. Rav Yossi says from Achad Varma'ela, Gidla Melech, right, the part of actually being my Gadol Hamam, that's where the problem begins. That's your Chiyuv. Rav Shimba Yochai holds, the Bryce of the Gemara brings, says, Mebalaila hu nodosh nasa melech. You need to, now we paskin, right, the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, but in Tovshin Tzadi. We paskin, obviously, like Rav Meir, who says you have to hear Kula, the whole thing. And that raises the question, why? In other words, the shitta of the other Tanoim, everyone learns it, by the way, they all get the same limud, so the Gemara says that they all get from exactly the same source, that it's from when they write the Megillah originally, it's B'chol Toikef, is the Lashon, it's used in Perek Tes of the Megillah, and Rav Yochanan says, Kula Mikra'echa Darshav, V'atikazavash Tamalka Mordechai Yehudi is called Toikef. What, all the power that writes goes Toikev shall Achashverosh, Toikev shall Mordechai, Toikev shall Haman, Toikev shall Nes. But that means, interestingly enough, the implication here is that we are paskening that when they were called Toikev, this Toikev is referring to the Toikev of Achashverosh. And that implies that somehow the journey of Achashverosh is actually a central element to the whole Megillah. That's something we need to think about when we approach the first parak and the last parak. So let's take a look straight away inside. Here we're lucky enough, we're fortunate enough not just to have many midrashim, Medrash Rabbah, there's obviously an Esther Rabbah, but of course, because the end of the first parak of Megillah, from Daf Yud till Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara is mefarish like a Medrash, so we actually end up with a unique thing in Shas, where we actually have pretty much a Gemara Medrash on the Megillah. But either way, but he be made both in the Medrash Rabbah and in the Gemara. It's very clear that the term by he be made already introduces a problem. By he can be sometimes good or bad, but by he be made is always a problem. By he be made Achashverosh, and in fact, when we have the words by he be made Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh ha-moylech moyed about Kush, in that introduction, there is a rich depth both in Gemara and Medrash that the Mefarshei and Megillah bring. Of what exactly is being told to us just in that opening pasuk, the name Achashverosh, because the name Achashverosh is not identical to his Persian name, right? Machlokes in Chazal, actually, which exact Persian emperor it was, one that in English we call Xerxes or one that we call Artaxerxes. The correct Persian for the first one is close to Achashverosh, would be Hashurash. Either way, Tanakh is dafka spelling him slightly differently, and that is Midrash. And the Gemara explains different possible meanings of the word Achashverosh. What's interesting is this. In the Gemara, When we say Ruach HaShoyesh, he's the Rosh Oymet Berisho Metchilos Avat Tzayv. He remains a Rosh from beginning to end. But that's only one approach in Chazal. There's actually two. The Medrash Rabbah says as follows. You have Achashverosh. First of all, you have all, right, that we say Hishchei Pnei Yisrael. Yisrael, exactly like in the Gemara. That all the various negative things, he darkened the face of Yisrael, he made everybody rush, impoverished, or hurt, or whatever they heard about him. But there's Dava Acha in the Medrash. Achashverosh Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya. Chad Om Achashverosh Harag Ishtem Bnei Oyavoy. Achashverosh, in the beginning of the story, kills his wife because of his friend, right? He kills the queen because of Haman. Hu Achashverosh, he ends up being Achashverosh, who does the opposite. Shaharag Oyavoy Bnei Ishtoi. He ends up killing Haman for the sake of his wife. Or Rabbi Nechemya Om Achashverosh Bittel Menachas Beis HaMikdash. He is part of the Achashverosh, again, depending on how you line him up with Sefer Ezra Nechemya. He's the Achashverosh Bittel Menachas Beis HaMikdash. Hu Achashverosh Shegoz Alav Sheibane. He's Achashverosh who, by the end of the story, is getting us back, or part of the Mefarshim on the Medrash have to explain exactly how that lines up, but he's the Achashverosh who's responsible for getting us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So the fear of Yehuda of Nechemya in the Parsha Beis of the Esther Rabbah, who Achashverosh is actually someone who changes. And the change to Achashverosh is fundamental to the entire story of Purim. So two approaches in Chazal. One is he remains Berisha with Chedav Atzayv, and the other is he himself changes, and the change itself is fundamental to this story. By the way, it's also very clear, as we'll see, you can see it in Rashi actually on the Megillah, that Vayib Me'achashverosh is Haman. So Rashi is telling us that the emergence of Haman and Amalek doesn't occur in a vacuum. It occurs specifically in the Achashverosh, at least the Achashverosh in the beginning of the story. Be'ez Hashem, if we have enough time, not this week, but over coming weeks, we'll see exactly when the Tikkun potentially does happen with Achashverosh, if we lefi the shittas that it happens, and what the implications of that are. Either way, we've got the Vayib Me'achashverosh Hu Achashverosh. So this is the next word, Hamoylech, however, already introduces now a bit of an interesting thing, because it should say Hamolach, right? The correct verb is Hamolach, ruled, past tense. Hamoylech implies some kind of process of rule, and in fact that's exactly what the Medrash says. Hamoylech Vadayin Leimolach. He's not yet the ruler, right? That what's going on? What is the implication? Now, physically, technically, legally, constitutionally, he is at this stage the Melech. But something about Achashverosh within himself never quite feels like the Melech. As we see Beferish, it says Kesheves Hamelech, right? It's the Loshon Kesheves Hamelech al Kisim al Chosid. Like, it literally means. So Rashi says, if you need a pshat in it, it's when Achashverosh is sitting on his throne. But the Medrash says, so we can find the Lashon. The Medrash says like this, that Kesheves, when it's the Umas Oilam, it says, never quite fit, sitting properly, comfortably. In other words, what's happening over here is that Achashverosh is not comfortable as a Melech. He doesn't feel, he's Kesheves a Melech al Kisim al Chosid. It's like he's sitting on his throne, but he's not happy on his throne. And the Shaila is why. And it comes out very obviously both in the Gemara, the Midrashim, and even in the Pshat Shel Mikra. But if we just take a look at what happens next, Asher B'Shushan Abira. So the word Shushan Abira immediately puts us on alert, because the word Bira does not appear in Torah or in the Nevi'im. It only appears in Ksuvim. Most of the appearances are in Megillas Esther, or in Sefer Daniel, referring to Shushan Abira. And the only other place called the Bira in Sefer Nechemya and Devar Yomim is Yerushalayim. So there's only two Biras in the world. There's a Bira, Shushan HaBira, and there's a Bira, Yerushalayim HaBira, and particularly the Mokem HaMikdash, which tells you that Achashverosh is living in a world where he, consciously or not, whatever exactly is going on, feels the insecurity of real Malchus is not his. Real Malchus belongs in a reality, and everything he's doing is trying to create an alternative to that reality. He's trying to create the centrality. Right? The Gemara says, Shalosh Malchus B'Kippah. There's only three, Mahoidavad Kush, who ruled over the curvature of the earth, whose empire was so vast at that point. Achav is one, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh. But he doesn't have the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo was Al-Kisei Hashem. He ruled Elyonim and Tachtonim. He doesn't have that. In fact, the Medrash says, Al-Kisei Malchusoi. So he says that he was trying to sit on the throne of Shlomo, but he couldn't. What that means is that always somewhere in his psyche is the sense that he's a usurper. And both in terms of actual Malchus of Paras and Madai, as the Gemara tells us, he killed his way, the Medrash says, he killed his way to the throne. Achiv Shal Roish, he didn't really belong on the throne. But also in a deeper sense, the sense that the Malchus of the world doesn't really belong to him. And so we have the Gemara in... We have the Gemara of his miscalculation, Daf Yud Aleph of Megillah, that he'd miscalculated the end of the Churban, and his Su'uda was celebrating the fact that in his mind there was going to be no rival. This deeper reality, Malchus, was not going to become manifest. Okay, but the truth is, when we look closely, obviously the Ramazim to the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan are very powerful. The whole party, the six-month party, has two parties, a six-month party for the... All the officers, and then a 1 week party for the whole of Shushan. But the goal is to show Oshek Avoid Machusai, the covered of his Machusai, called Tiferes Kedulasai, and the Tiferes of his greatness. And we know those two Lashonas of Parashat Tetzaveh are the Big Day Kuna, the Chavod Ulisifaris, and from there Chazal Adorish, that this means he was wearing the Big Day Kuna. We then read about the Kalim and Kalim Shoinim, right, which is the remez to the fact that he's in the Klei Beis HaMikdash, and all these other Ramazim that take place there. But if we look deeper, it's not just the fact that Shushan is called the Bira and so on, but even the word Shushan is a replica of Yisrael, because Shoshana bein achoichim, we're the Shoshana, and Shushan is the alternative reality, the alternative Bira, the alternative to Yisrael, the alternative to Yerushalayim. Even we say that the Gemara brings it in by Sheni, it's actually pretty much a Mishnah, there was a Shah called the Shah Shushan. Right, there's something about these two possible poles of reality, Shushan or the Beis HaMikdash. And they actually have the picture of Shushan and Bira on it. And so on. But in fact, the entire story, there the Medrash that we saw, the end of the story, the epilogue, is that Achashverosh sends us back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. All the way through he's worried about this. Ad Chatzia Malchus, Dovash Achotza Malchus. You can have anything but not the Beis HaMikdash. And yet by the end he's sending us back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So this is clearly the deep underlying issue. And we see it again and again. Whenever we talk about Purim, there's always a link between the two. K'shem mishenichnas av mamatin basimcha, kach mishenichnas adar marbin basimcha. So our marbin basimcha of Adar is a pathway to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We have to read the parashas of the Mishkan always in the run-up to Purim. So it's clearly, and the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam brings it in the Halacha, that the Mashiach is the first be Moicha Malik, and then can build the Beis HaMikdash. So everything about this sets up this issue. But then what happens is, okay, so we got this insecure Melech HaChashverosh. And by the way, it's not just here that we say Kesheves HaMelech HaKisei Malchuso, which the Medrash says takes literally as like he was sitting comfortably, but he wasn't really. Throughout the first six Prokim in the Megillah, every single state of mind of Achashverosh is always prefixed Ka. It's always like he was in this Ketoyev Lev HaMelech. It's like he's happy. Keshei Chamas HaMelech. It's like he's calmed down. It's always like, it's always going to be that way. Everything about Achashverosh is Ka, is fake, is unreal, is an image, is an impression. Right? Kaseida all the way through the Megillah. And the entire party is Lasos Kirtzoin Ish V'Ish. Right? He wants everybody to be happy. He's actually dissolving the natural structures of Malchus. By the end of the first Perek, he's got rid of there being one Loshen. He's got rid of there being one Ksav. Right? Everybody gets their own Ksav, their own Loshen. He's got rid of the central authority. The Gemara says that even the words, when he's showing off his greatness and trying to win over the population by this by inviting them in to all the way into the palace. So one of the things he has shows is Darav Seichores, right? He shows this this beautiful marble floor. The Gemara says that it's the very Bishmal Tana. Shekara Dror L'chol Bali Schara. Darav Seichores, Dror means liberty, and Schara is the markets, free markets. Less taxes, less restrictions, less red tape, less Malchus, in short. A real Melech in antiquity, the purpose was, and throughout Tanakh, is to harness all the individual, turn them into one central entity, have that power to do things. And Achashverosh, throughout the first many prokim, pretty much till the end, is constantly loosening his reins in an attempt to win over the popular support for what he's doing. Lasos kutzoin ish v'ish. There's only two people called Ish of the Megillah, Mordechai and Haman. He wants to please everybody. And in fact, Chazal adoshes several times in the Megillah that when he's Megadol one, he has to be Megadol the other. He doesn't ever want anybody else to have too much power. He's trying to keep everybody on his side. He's like a modern democratic leader watching opinion polls and deciding policy. He's not much of a melech. And then comes the real intention that it's always going on, because Bayom HaShvi, as Chazal point out, that means the pinnacle, right? The Maharal explains that it means the pinnacle of everything he was trying to do with all of this. And in that process, there was going to be this whole episode with Vashti. And Gam Vashti Amalka Asa Mishnei Nashim, the word Gam, there's no reason to add that word in. The Gemara tells us and the Medrash tells us she was in cahoots, it was the same plan. They had had this plan all along, that now is going to just like there's a liberty of everything and everything goes, there's a direction that's moving. That's the world of Taiva. Everyone can have whatever they want, there's no more taboo, nothing. This is it. This is the way they're going to win over the population. And at a certain moment, she turns around and says, this is the Tamoy and Amalka Vashti, and the Gemara asks, why is she suddenly refused if she was, this is all her plan all along? And the famous Gemara that every child learns of along came Gavriel. First she got Saras, she got a tail, or whatever exactly it is. The Maharal explains in the Chodesh that one of the longest Svarim of the Maharal that doesn't get, it's hot, not that easy to learn it, because if you have to start learning at least now, it's a long sefer. He's mafarish beautifully all the Gemaras and all the Midrashim of the Megillah. And lots of other things. But there he points out, he says, the tail is the heavy part the animal has to drag along. In other words, she felt the kveda, she felt the heaviness of her physicality. She felt like a reptile instinct inside, and the heaviness of Gashmias. Put it slightly differently. In other words, at the key moment, she suddenly realized, this is not about fun. This is about me being treated like an animal. And she suddenly feels that and understands that and notices that, and it sickens her. At that key moment, there's that sickening feeling of this is not some kind of I don't know what. This is literally the objectification and desecration of a human being, turning us into an animal. Of course, the remez of the tzaras and the remez of the tail of the zanov is, of course, the nachash hakadmoni, and that's something that's always been merumas all the way through the Megillah story, issues of Gan Eden. The whole opening thing, it's a chatz ginas b'sanes in the garden of the house of the king. So there's many, many remozim over here. But she suddenly feels the horror of all this, and it's too late. That's going to be her downfall. But the amazing thing is, by the end of the first parent, there's one other thing that's introduced, and these are going to become central issues in the Megillah, because the king doesn't know what to do at that stage. He does what he always does, again, for the first six brachim. He will never make a single decision. Achashverosh doesn't make decisions most of the way through the Megillah. What he does is he goes to other people. He asks, he calls in the PR team, he calls in the lawyers, he calls in everybody, the Yodei Das within. He calls in everything. And to know what to do with it. And the problem is, he's fuming, but it's inside him. Why is it inside him? Because a man who's so conscious of his image has a problem. On the one hand, he's publicly slighted, so he's got to do something about it. On the other hand, if he does something about it, he looks weak, so he doesn't know what to do. And Memuchan comes up with the only answer suitable for Achashverosh. He says, Loyal HaMelech Levado Osav Vashti HaMalka, this is not about you. We know, King, you are so gracious and forgiving. You would not be bothered by this stuff. The problem here is we're the problem. We've got an issue over here. Yetzidva Malka, we're going to create revolutions. We're going to have feminism. Who knows what's going to come next? So we need you to stand up for all of us and destroy it. Now, that's perfect for Achashverosh, but as the Gemara points out, it made a chizuk of him because he ends up making this ridiculous letter that says, Lios Kol Yisrael Bevesai, where actually, in reality, nobody anywhere in the Medina had any particular problems. And that was important because later on, the way things would normally go, when the letter comes out, everybody would have taken the initiative and started attacking Klal Yisrael straight away. And instead, they weren't sure whether to take letters of him seriously. But the aside of what comes out here, just from the first parak, and I want to move a little bit into the second, and then we will have covered some basics here that are some important introductions. There's one very, very powerful thing that also is there, Merumas, right in the beginning of the first parak, right in the first parak. When Memuchan says that when Menuchin says, who's Haman, yeah, who says we have to get rid of her, and he says what we'll do is we'll write a constitutional amendment that that she lost her malchus, right? That we'll give it to the colleague who's greater than her, which is of course the echo of the Loshen of Shmuel, who says to Shaul HaMelech, in Shmuel Aleph, right, in the story where he refuses, where he failed to kill Agag, so we say that it will be given to Reach HaTov Mimecha, the Malchus will be taken from you, and it will be given L'Reacha, to your colleague, who's Tov Mimecha, who's better than you. That is to say that Shaul HaMelech lost his Malchus for failing to kill Agag, and then in Perek Aleph of the Megillah, Haman, the great-great-grandson of Agag, reintroduces Esther, the great-great-granddaughter of Shaul, back to the Malchus with the exact same phrase. So the Megillah, so we're drawing here a full circle. And in fact, as we then go into the second Perek and we try to find some plan of how Ahasuerus can ever have any, this fake attempt to look for a queen because he's too insecure to really have one, and how he ends up with Esther. And the key to Esther's Ein Esther Magedis, the whole issue towards the end of the second Perek, is Ahasuerus sees her as if she's a person who has no ego, no threat whatsoever. So immediately takes her, as if you follow through the Gemara, you'll see that's essentially what's going on. The minute he sees Esther, he feels he's the first woman, it doesn't threaten him in any way, and he takes her straight away as the Malkah. But then he's threatened by one thing, Ein Esther Magedis, she refuses to tell who she is. The Gemara tells us, in fact, that Sneasa, this is not a coincidental element. This tznius aspect of Esther goes all the way back to Shaul HaMelech. It's his tznius that's the tzchus to produce Esther. And that goes all the way back to Rachel Imenu. Now we need to understand what this tznius is and isn't. Because what it certainly isn't, tznius does not mean a complete abnegation of any personality. A complete self-destruction till there's nothing there. That's what it looks like in the Megillah Mitzvah's point. She's called Esther, she's called Hadassah. The Gemara says which one's the Lashon HaKodesh name, which one's the name she was given over there. Either way, they're both merumas, the same nakuda of something hidden. Astir is that which is hidden. Hadas is that which covers itself up. But when you hide something, it means there's something that is to be revealed, just it needs the right time and place. And of course, by the end of the story, Esther is the whole Megillah. So, but right now is not the time to reveal. And that bothers Ahasuerus endlessly. To the point where the entire, by the end of the second Perek, this become just before the end of the second Perek, it's become more or less a total obsession. The Gemara goes through how every Darshan's every word, he tries to lower the taxes, calls them an Esther tax reduction, so that she'll, because he thinks, maybe she's not telling me who she is, because, I don't know, because she's embarrassed, she comes from some low population, so I'll make her the most popular person. Then there's the Esther Mishnah, there's going to be Esther parties everywhere. Everything is going on, is trying to get her, and then he brings the Kobe to sort of shame, he does that again because he's trying everything to get her to say she won't sit. And then, of course, by the end of the second parak, Mordechai is moved into position as well, and we now have the Hakdama of the Refuah Lemakom. So what is happening over here? At that point, by the way, comes a third shitta, which could begin the Megillah from the third parak. Now the story is ready to begin. So let's just sum up what we said so far, and then I wanted to show you an amazing Vilna Gaon. That again, we have to track all the way through the Megillah. We've seen, therefore, what we've learned is Ahasuerus is a person who lives in this deep, insecure world. The tikkun of Ahasuerus is the purpose of the Megillah, at least according to Rav Yehuda of Nehemiah, and Bepashtus, the way we paskin, that the story has to begin from the first parak, has to go through to the last parak. Something about Ahasuerus is going to be central to this issue. From Perek Aleph, all we know about him is he's paranoid. He's trying to please everybody. He doesn't sense his own malchus. Every emotional state of his is a prefixed ka, is not real. Everything he's doing is trying to please everybody. He's thrown immediately by all his liberalization plan is exposed as just an animalistic objectification, going back to the Nochash of Gan Eden. And he's humiliated by this, and he ends up making another fool of himself, trying to remedy and rectify the situation in the way, only way that he knows how. And into all of this enters Esther, who on the one hand seems so unthreatening because of her tznius, and yet at the same time is totally threatening because Ein Esther Magedis, and to a person in that state of mind of Ahasuerus, this is going to be something that he cannot function under. And of course, it's ironic that his own paranoia ends up almost destroying him, because the Gemara says the big son of Seresh was saying, all this obsession with Esther, you know, we got to get rid of this guy. And in the end, it's Esther ends up saving him at that particular moment via Mordechai. The Gemara says as follows. He has three perushim on the Megillah, the Derech Pshat, the Derech Remez, and the Derech of Soid. Elon S. Esik bin Astarim, so we'll just talk about Derech Remez, I think we're allowed to talk about. The Gemara first is the Farish al Pi Pshutoi, based on the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, but the entire Megillah is also Remez to the Yemei HaShveresh, the Yemei Yetzara. And he says that, amazingly, every personality in that story has an echo within all of us. We have an HaShveresh inside us, we have this inside us, we have every single one inside us. Which is the Derech of the Gemara to show how every person that Tanakh teaches us about is also some personality we can relate to. HaShveresh, the Yetzara. There's Moilech. He's always Moilech Mahoidavad Kush. Hoid is the glory of the person. Kush is the darkening at the end. So he's Moilech the entire life of the person. Sheva, Ba'esim, Me'am, Medina, the first 7 years till the Gemara and Bava Basra says to start Torah education. The Yetzirah has the full run. But then till Chof, till Yabar Oinshim, and by then it tries to ingrain itself so that we'll last all the remaining Me'ah Shana. That's what it does. And then the Gemara is Mefarish Beauty, every single line, Alpi the Gemara, of how it's all Meramas to the High Yetzirah. The Vashti Miloshan Veshas is a goof, is a physical human being who lives under the rule of the Yetzara, completely manipulated by it, would naturally have some kind of malchus of its own, but it's completely destroyed, wants all the freedom and the fun, and then at a certain point turns around and realizes it's just been used like an animal by the Yetzara. It's much beautiful. You can see every single line in the Megillah that is covered the way the Yetzara chase is covered, the way it needs approval of everybody, the way it's never really secure, that it's got a mouth, all the things they can literally see inside where these things are operating all the time. And eventually, when the person, that withered person who's been living under the Yetzara their whole life, just suddenly turns around in horror and wants to rebel against it, it's often too late. And at that point, it's now going to be destroyed. Tries to fight against it at the end. And then the insecure Yetzirah goes looking for another victim, but it's been a bit traumatized by the experience, and it's now looking and looking and looking, and it eventually finds this Esther. It thinks this ego-free self, but it's actually a goof for a person who's misukan al pi then a shama, being Mordechai. This is brilliant. Once you see it's like desperately trying to attach itself to this person, it cannot find a way in. And its struggle in the end, the Gra actually ends early, so we don't know how he's going to take it through. But Be'ez Hashem, as we go through other prokim, we will see where things might have gone. We'll speculate about where the rest of the story would go. But it's an unbelievable Pesach to the whole thing. So let's just therefore bring into place that this what we've learned already in these opening two prokim, and the final point I'll just bring out is the issue mini. On the one hand, that we call Mordechai Ishi. So once again, the link back to Kish, the Yemini, is clearly Sha'ala Melech. Which means that what the Megillah's done in introducing this world of Achashverosh, introducing what is effectively a Yetzirah world, introducing all its self-destructiveness and all its calamity, and trying to build an alternative to real Ashras Hashchina in the world, it just creates destruction in its wake. In trying to offer the body the temptation of freedom and whatever you want, all it will do is just destroy everything. In that world, we're now ready to introduce the world of Binyamin. The world of the Bnei Rachel, who are going to always be the world. That is a world, by the way, out of which Amalek can emerge, as we will see. But that is also a world that requires the Bnei Rachel to be in it. Why? Because it always needs Bnei Rachel to destroy Esav and to destroy Amalek. We see that Yaakov won't leave to return until Yosef is there, based on the fact that Beis Yaakov H, Beis Yosef Lehava, you need the spark to destroy, to be able to destroy. We see that every time there's a Muhammad Amalek, whether it's in Parashat B'Shalach, it's Yahushua from Ephraim, from the Bnei Rachel, who has to go and lead the fight. When it's in Shmuel, it's Dafka Shaul HaMelech has to go and fight against Amalek. And here it's Dafka Binyamin. It's Dafka Mordechai Esther. So we're going to have to see how all this works as well. We're laying out some of the issues that we need to see, but it's always going to be them we have to define. And the hint that we've had so far is it's that tznius, which we're going to have to see how that manifests, that is the key to that which is hidden, that is inaccessible to the world of Achashverosh, inaccessible to the world, who's a person who's always, what's really inside is what scares him, what's outside is where he's trying to win, where there's a depth inside that he can't access, is going to be the way the entire Purim story manifests, which is obvious, should be obvious to us. The whole point of the Purim story is revealing that which is beneath the surface, which will destroy all of that. But with that, we've covered the first two prokim, Yitz Hashem, and Yitz Hashem, over the coming weeks, we'll go through more prokim and see how the Midrashim build the story.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Come on.